What's up, patrons, and welcome to our Mandalorian commentaries. If you've done our Clone Wars commentaries before, we're going to sync them up in a similar way. I'm about to count down. I'll go 3, 2, 1, pause, and on pause, just hit pause on whatever method you're listening to this audio commentary on. Then when you start watching The Mandalorian, right when that cool new flashy Star Wars logo with all the like red and blue flashing lights, right when that fades out, like right when it hits black, hit play again, and you should be all synced up. So get ready to pause. 3, 2, 1, pause.
Is this one of your top Baby Yoda moments ever?
Definitely. The first time we watched this, I was like, who's he talking to?
This tiny little shot. How is anyone supposed to, like, get back there to fix anything? I guess you could let a droid do it.
Huh? Got it.
This is another example of, like, when the baby got thrown off of that speeder bike in episode 2 of season 2. And he's fine. And this time it's like, he gets electrocuted. He's fine.
He's trying so hard.
No. I keep seeing people ask, like, whenever we see Ahsoka, which is probably going to be soon, like, is she just going to take the child? Like, no. There's no way that's how this story ends, like, halfway through season 2. Yeah, the baby's just gone now. No.
I'm excited to see Ahsoka's reaction to be like, you can't just give me your baby.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
We talked through all that, but I really like that Din is now willing to, like, pop his helmet off a little bit in front of the baby.
Yeah, and Baby Yoda just kind of looks up at him like, whoa. Maybe one day I'll see his face. These Aqualish look scary.
Yeah. I don't like the red tusks. They look like baboon butts. Also, there's 100% a deleted shot or two in this fight, because in the credits with the concept art, you can see that little lava meerkat, like, breathes fire into the face of one of the Aqualish. And you can see that his face has been burned in a little bit. So I don't know why they cut that out. Maybe it just didn't look right, or maybe they were cutting it for time, but that doesn't really make sense for a streaming show. But right. Oh, not yet. This next guy. Like, his face is burned now.
Oh, yeah. I just love when Kara gets to use her, like, wrestling moves. Gross. Looks like a stuffed ferret.
I like that it's a puppet.
I do too, but It looks like it would have rabies. Like, growing up, my dad had a stuffed fox squirrel mounted on a piece of driftwood, and it was really old and dusty all the time, and that's what that thing looks like.
Mr. Munchy Peanuts?
Yeah, that was his name.
We all remember Mr. Munchy Peanuts. I don't think I ever saw him. Just heard stories.
I wanted to keep him, and my mom got rid of him before I could have any say.
Just noticing the ropes on the outside, too. Like, they legit, the Mon Calamari were like, just tie it together. It'll be fine.
I like that the thing doesn't open on the way.
I can't believe how quickly they wind up fixing this ship.
Yeah. That's kind of the wave of the hand movie magic.
For sure.
Kind of thing. Like, the whole reason he's there is that he needs his ship fixed. And obviously shenanigans are going to go down. But by the end of the episode, the ship has to be fixed.
I guess these guys are, at least the spy is motivated to get the ship fixed and tracked and all that. So they probably worked really hard and fast.
Mm. None of that was part of the script. That's just, he was like, cut, okay, now I'm going to talk to the baby now.
Yeah, he just forgot to yell cut. Something like this episode, I remember when that Mimbanese guy turned around and I was like, oh, something's up with this dude. But then I totally forgot about him by the end. And then when he pops up, you're like, oh, yeah, that shady guy. The IG-11 statue in the background there.
So cool.
Love all these little kids just yelling out like Star Wars terms that I've read about for for years. The Hydean way, nerd.
You think they could whoop you in Star Wars trivia?
I would hope so. They live it. Although then again, like, if they studied Earth stuff as hard as I study Star Wars stuff, they could probably beat me in Earth trivia.
I wonder what those kids think of him. They're like,
they're making fun of him because he's 50 years old and in grade school. This kid didn't learn the lesson, like, you can't eat unless you brought enough to share.
Mm-hmm. This kid also has, like, the worst on-screen presence. I know he's just a kid, but, like, he's like, what do I do?
I thought that's exactly what he was going for. Like, this tiny green alien wants my food. What do I do?
What a jerk.
You just don't like him because he's mean to the baby.
Those space cookies are in a Chipotle burrito wrap.
The kid's like, those were $50. Can't believe you just ate them. Pedro Pascal shared a behind the scenes image of him and Horatio Sanz on set,
mm-hmm.
because apparently they're both Chilean. I didn't know Horatio was from Chile, and so is Pedro. But he keeps like sharing images and stuff like that, or we hear stories about how it does sound like he was in the suit a lot more in season two.
I mean, it seems like he would want to be in the suit.
I mean, that was the story was that he just had scheduling conflicts for season one. And so it was the stuntman a lot of the time, which, I mean, that's fine. But I do like seeing all these images of him, like, just hanging out on set. I was about to say something snarky about how Grief knows Din's real name. He heard it back in episode 8, but then again, he calls Mithril.
Yeah, like... it's just part of his character. Also, Din probably doesn't want him calling him by his name in front of...
That's true.
Anyone?
They've had a relationship for a while. It seems like Grief just knows him as Mando. His humidity vest. Gotta keep him moist.
I do enjoy Horatio Sanz. And more so than I thought I would.
Me too. I liked him a lot more in this episode than I did in the first. And I think a lot of that was just getting used to the tone of this show. I don't know, that first episode... It was just, you know, not what I was expecting completely, but the second I got used to it, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm on board.
I like what he says about his tool, too.
It's for
You're lucky
plumbing.
I brought this.
Like half the... toilet talk in all of Star Wars comes from that one character. Needs to use the vac tube. What's he say? He hasn't... what's he say?
Hmm?
I'm trying to remember what he says in the first episode
about the vac tube.
He hasn't molted since or expelled his... I forget what he said. But he hasn't done it since the solstice. To me, this is like a Star Wars nerd getting excited about a mint toy, and that vehicle is based off of a toy. He's basically saying, you know how much we could get on eBay for this?
One thing I've noticed in The Mandalorian is most, if not all, of the Imperial people that we've heard speak are not British.
Yeah. Also, this episode has so many wipes in it. I think I pointed out in chapter 10 that sometimes they just used fade to blacks, and I was like, that seems a little odd for Star Wars. I'm used to wipes. And then this episode is like wipe after wipe after wipe after wipe. That's so good. His delivery is excellent. There's no guardrail.
Just finally someone in Star Wars points that out.
It's been a joke in parodies for forever, but yeah, someone in universe finally said something. It's so impractical. Who designed that?
Why not put the control panel on the other side? Not, you know, sitting over all that lava.
You know, something I will point out, though, it's a line that we skipped over. Kira said something about, like, Imperials, because they have, like, these modular bases and stuff. They just install them on whatever planet they're on. They don't care.
Yeah, they said it wasn't rated for lava.
Right. Like, they're just like, here, install a base. There's the dude in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Imperials don't care to, like, fit in with the environment, the natural environment. Here come all the new Snoke theories.
And Palpatine.
Yeah. Which it could be, but I'm like, oh, leave it alone. I just... Let this be a self-contained story. It's fine. I love that. I'd much rather it be self-contained. The child is so small.
So small.
See, I wonder if he just got like a vial of blood and they... I wonder how many experiments they got out of that.
Yeah. It's So many classic stormtrooper lines.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
There they are. Blast them.
Look over there.
The Mithril in a gunfight is a lot of fun. All right, here comes Wipe City.
Wipe. Wipe.
That sounded like a Death Star line.
Wipe.
Like, you can just cut.
Maybe it's to make it seem like they're moving quickly.
Maybe. The darker side of me is bummed we didn't get to see any stormtroopers fall into the lava.
I love how... There's one.
Yeah, but... I want to see him fall in.
I love how whenever a stormtrooper gets killed, they literally ragdoll to the ground. Like, they look like... toys falling down. Like, that must be in the direction. Like, okay, if you're a stormtrooper and you get shot, just flail as much as you possibly can on your way down. People have said that Kara's lines have been really just like cheesy and flat, but they sound very original trilogy to me.
I mean, I feel like that whole little segment was kind of cheesy and stilted. The go, 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 go. But I think that's just kind of the vibe of this episode. We've talked about the theme park stuff before. Like, this just... this part especially just feels like Star Tours or something you'd find at an amusement park.
Right on a speeder.
Yeah. But also Carl Weathers is like an 80s action hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just kind of what he's going for.
I love this shot.
Oh, great shot.
Of the bikes. And like, there's so many close-up shots of like when they hit the accelerator pad or whatever it's called, and
yeah,
just close-ups on the target in the ship.
I love that like woo noise speeder bikes make. The sound design of all of this is just, like you said, very original trilogy. Really brings me back.
How excited do you think Carl Weathers was to get into this?
Oh, yeah.
Little seat. Little mini gunner.
Love their blaster sounds. They use EC-17 holdout blasters. Thanks, Schmodown studying. I was hoping for just a little bit more in this part of the chase sequence, kind of like a Raiders of the Lost Ark. We're on top of the truck now, and but I mean,
that guy just gets vaporized. Yeah.
I can't tell if it just exploded in his hand or if Grief shot the grenade or if shooting him blew the grenade up. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it's a little bit of both. Or a little bit of all of it. Always turning those little dials.
Yeah, so many dials to turn. I don't have to turn that many dials in squadrons.
I do love the Imperial TIE fighter pilot uniform.
That feels very Force Awakens to me. Rey piloting. I'm like, are you ever going to shoot back? And him being like, I can barely control this thing.
Yeah, when Finn's like, try sitting in this thing.
Uh-huh.
Carl's like, I'm okay. It's fine. I'm an action star.
Pretty sure he's coming up on 80 years old, and you would not guess
what?
It. Yeah.
No.
I think so. I want to say he's 77. I'm looking it up.
And that shot is very much like the Falcon in The Last Jedi on Crait. Oh, another cute baby moment coming up. Whee! His little hands are in the air.
I can't stand it.
Can't even.
Oh, he's 72, excuse me.
Yeah.
Still, he's
That's
in his
not
70s,
nearly 80.
I wouldn't have guessed 70.
He's taking good care of himself.
Yeah. Just like Bo-Katan.
Wee, got my cookies.
Theme park ride. Love this. Love seeing the flaps come out and go back in. And then this fool, don't joust with a Razor Crest, idiot.
He's laughing.
You shouldn't even joust against a fighter of your same caliber.
Yeah.
This is another like all this feels very just kind of cheesy to me, but I don't mind it.
Oh no.
I forget who it was on Twitter, but she's a mom and was like, the amount of times I've done this exact maneuver while driving.
Mm-hmm. With his own cape.
Love seeing Carson again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I wonder if Favreau wanted Filoni to be like the cop and the ongoing New Republic pilot. And he was like, no,
I won't do it.
I love when he says a gram, and I was like, a telegram? Oh, a hologram.
Graham cracker?
Something I was thinking about, we haven't talked about yet, but in season one, Kara was like hiding from the New Republic because she basically deserted, but this guy knows who she is and like doesn't care.
Also, she calls him blue. He's clearly wearing orange.
Blue is just the New Republic color, except for when they're in their flight suits, I guess.
What do you think?
I figure he knows the answer. I think he's just trying to be like, hey, maybe there's more good you could be doing.
So that's basically like a Medal of Honor.
Or like a, I don't know if it's because a Medal
of Honor.
Because
it's got stripes on it.
I don't know what it's supposed to be. I think it's just him going like, hey, I think you're all right.
I think like, it's supposed to be kind of like the Yavin Medal.
Maybe. Yeah. I definitely think it's an award of some kind, but I think it's him just saying like, I believe in what you're doing. I don't know. People were pointing out this is the first live-action lady officer of the Empire. We've seen them in like the animated shows a handful of times, but never in live-action.
I mean, we've seen them in the First Order.
Yes, First Order has them, but this is the first Imperial one.
And people were pointing out that she is a martial artist.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we get to see her fight at some point. Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. That'd be cool. Because we're making dark troopers. Man, I hope he does with the dark troopers what he did with the E-Web. In episode 8, where he's like, this is an E-Web repeating blaster, and blah, he basically reads the Wookiee for it. I want him to do that for Dark Troopers.
I can't wait to get a better look at them.
Oh, yeah. I figure we're going to have to wait. Well, maybe they'll happen. Maybe they'll show up in
and
chapter
13.
And,
how are they going to look when they're moving?
I think something like K2SO. But, yeah.
Like, are they going to be... I assume people will be inside them. Or no?
No. In Legends, there was one model of Dark Trooper that, like, could have someone inside of it.
I mean,
like an Iron Man exoskeleton.
I mean, just, like, portraying the trooper... How would they do it without having an actor inside?
It would just be all CG. Kind of like the droids that we saw in the New Republic prison ship.
Yeah. They look... I don't know. They look like they might be meant to be played by actual humans, but I don't know.
It might be. I don't know. Like, they might be the versions where, like, yeah, we have people inside of these, and they're like Iron Man suits.
That'd be cool.
I don't know. Like,
you know, Favreau would be down with that.
Yeah.
Well, what did he call the Iron Man suits that acted on their own? Maybe they'd be kind of like those.
Maybe. Like in Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
I mean, those were all Iron Man suits. But
just
they all
with no
just...
one in them.
Jarvis was controlling them all until Tony was like, I'm getting in this one.
Yeah.
But that's all for another episode. Thanks so much for listening and watching along with us. Thank you so much for being our patrons, and may the Force be with you.